We are in the middle of series of Parakletos. For those of you who are joining for the first time, Parakletos referred to helper. And more I think about this topic, this is a crucial topic. Crucial topic. The reason is that without Parakletos and Holy Spirit in you, you have no divine life in you. That's why. There's no divine life. The difference between a believer and non-believer is God. God in him. Okay? And, you know, I was just meditating this morning. Parakletos, Holy Spirit, lead our lives to love and obey. Lead our lives to love and obey. You know, Christian life is about loving. It's not attendance. It's not do's and don'ts. It's much more than that. You know it is much more than that. It's about loving. Loving God and loving the souls. And I don't think they go separately. I really don't think so. How does he lead us, Parakletos, lead us to love and obey? Because he loves you. He loves you. He's not a person who is looking for things to just nail you and strike you and find fault in you. He loves you. Like a parent. We see that in previous verses, a couple of occasions, Jesus saying, my dear children, remember, as he was leaving? And also at the same time, he said, I will not leave you as an orphan, meaning he's a parent, right? And Parakletos has that mother nature kind of thing, quote and unquote, comforter, right? And the counselor. Helper. So he loves us. That's why we could love God and love others. You know, this morning we had another Korean service, and I was just kind of like thinking about this. You know, for God so loved the world, he gave his only son. That's a huge statement, John 3:16. For God so loved the world, he gave his son. And God so loved the world, not world, but Christians, his children, he gave his spirit. Now think about it. I know this is a big statement. It's a big theological statement. For God so loved the world, he gave his son, and God so loved his children and believers so much, he gave his own spirit to him. And he loves you. He's the spirit of sonship, spirit of father, spirit of the Son. Okay, so that's the first reason. The second reason why we love and obey is that because Bible says he pours his great Calvary love into our hearts, into our souls. You know, we had a wonderful session on soul care yesterday with the pastors, and the topic really blessed me, and I was thinking about this throughout yesterday and this morning, and I realized, wow, without the Holy Spirit pouring his love and I commune with him, without communing with him, can my soul be in the right place? I know we need rest. I know we need all of that. However, I think the most important thing is we commune with him, right? He pours his great love and life into your soul, Romans 5:8. And that's everyday people. Okay, and the third reason, if I may add one more, because he reminds us and help us to remember his great saving grace. Can I just remind you of his great saving grace? May the Holy Spirit minister to your heart. Otherwise, this is a dead ritual, isn't it? Who likes dead ritual? Today we will have a communion service, and I'll be reading from 1 Corinthians. And Jesus, the night before he was betrayed, and he breaks the bread and gives to his disciples, and he said, take it and remember me, remember me. And today we're going to see it in today's text. It is the Spirit of God. Help us to remember what this is about. Is it about like bread and grape juice? You know, we don't say that, but unless Spirit of a Living God kind of reminds us and help us to remember what this is about, this is a meaningless activity, right? May the Spirit of the Lord speak to us and bless us. Christianity is about loving people, loving God, and therefore loving his people. It's always the waterfall and then the river. There is no other way. That's the Christianity. Always begins with God. For God so loved the world, he gave his son, he gave his spirit. That's why we can love others. And by doing so, we love God, right? It is about loving. And if you love me, you will keep my word, obedience. Can you think with me? If you love, you're going to obey. And tomorrow you're going to obey. Next year you're going to obey. What's going to happen to you? You're going to follow him. That's what it means to follow him. Therefore, it is Parakletos, Helper, Holy Spirit, that lead us, his people, to love him and obey him. So let me begin with today's text from John chapter 14. And today, basically, I'm going to use one verse. Okay, and there are five Parakletos, Helper or Holy Spirit passage in John chapter 14, 15, and 16. And as you know, this is a night before he was betrayed and went to the cross. So he has a very limited amount of time, and he mentions Helper five times. Chapter 14 twice, chapter 15 once, and chapter 16 twice. And I'm just sharing this because that's how important this topic is. There are different teachings about Holy Spirit in the scripture, and I think this is the most important teaching because this is the teaching that Jesus exclusively, distinctively taught in a very crucial time, okay? Of course, Romans chapter 8 and all of the New Testament and the Old Testament, there are teachings about the Holy Spirit, but this particular teaching in chapter 14, 15, 16 of John's Gospel is most extensive and distinctive teaching about the Parakletos from Jesus himself. So we should pay attention, okay? So today, one verse, okay? Verse 26. Let me start with verse 25. These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you. I think that's very important context. Now he's about to leave and he's going to send the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is a person and God. We studied this last Friday. Would you look at me? I'm a person. So if you ignore me, I get hurt. Okay? I do get hurt, by the way. So I'm a person. Holy Spirit is a person. Person who lives with you and dwells in you. If you are a believer. Okay? He's a person with mind, emotion, and intellect, and will and volition. In other words, he has desires, he thinks, and he feels. If you ignore him, if you diss him, he gets hurt. Okay? He's a person, and he is God. Right? Here. But the Helper, when the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. It's one verse, but it is very packed. And basically, we could see two things. Number one, who is Holy Spirit? And number two, what is his role and his ministry? Three things about who is Holy Spirit and two main role or ministry of Holy Spirit. Let me spell it out for you. Number one, Parakletos, Holy Spirit, Parakletos or Helper is Holy Spirit. It's the first time the word Holy Spirit is stated. Number two is the gift of the Father. It's someone who God the Father has sent to his children whom he loves. And number three is in Jesus' name he was sent. Okay? That's the three things about who Holy Spirit Parakletos is. And two roles and ministry of Holy Spirit is he teaches you, he will teach you all things. Can I just ask you? When the Bible says he's going to teach you all things, what does that mean? What does that include? All things. all things. How do you love your spouse? How do you do business? What do I live for? What's the real thing? All things, people. In other words, without the Holy Spirit, you're missing the mark. So often we believe in the lies, and then you live all your life only to look back and find out that everything was a lie. Can you imagine that? But Holy Spirit is someone who teaches his children all things and reminds your recall to remembrance what I have said to you, meaning Jesus' word or God's word. Okay, so that's the framework. So let me begin. Who is Parakletos? Number one, he is the Holy Spirit. Can I just pause for a second? What does that word mean? What does that word signify? Word holy. J.I. Packer, who just recently passed away. Oh boy, right? J.I. Packer recently just passed away. One of the leading thinker of 20th century with C.S. Lewis, right? He describes holiness this way. Holy signifies everything about God that sets him apart from us and makes him an object of awe and adoration and dread to us, fear to us. We try to define, he's trying to define what holiness is. And it covers two things. Number one, all aspects of his transcendent greatness. Can you picture greatness of God? How great is our God? I love ocean picture. Is that big enough for our great God? No, people. Holiness covers his transcendent greatness and his perfect moral perfection. How perfect is he? Perfect. Infinitely perfect. That's holiness, people. That's what J.I. Packer is describing. Therefore, thus, it's an attribute of all attributes pointing to the godness of God at every point. Holiness. A couple more points. Every facet of God's nature may be properly be spoken as holy just because it is his. We sang about mercy today. His mercy is holy because we don't have it. He's infinitely merciful. His omniscience, he knows all things, is holy because he knows all things. We don't. We get easily confused. We look at lies and say that's true. Right? But he is infinitely holy, omnisciently holy. Holy omniscient. Right? And the last thing I want to cover, what Packer said, is the core of the concept of holiness, however, it's God's purity, which cannot tolerate any form of sin, Hebrews 1:13, and thus calls sinners to constant self-abasement in his presence. That's holy. Can you think with me? That holy God is with me. How do you reconcile the two? That's holy. That's the holiness of God. And that Holy Spirit dwells in me and Father sent it to me. Can I ask you to think with me? What would happen if he lives in me and I live with him? What's going to happen to my life? Do you think it'll make difference? Do you think it'll make difference in our values, the way we think and where we see the worth of different things? Okay, that's holiness. But Jesus is saying the helper is the Holy Spirit who's going to be dwell and mano in you and abide in you. That's Christianity. What separates Christianity, I think, from everything else is this: God dwells in me even before we die. You know, That's the divine life. Christianity doesn't begin after you die. When you become a Christian through the work of Holy Spirit, which is the regenerating work of the Holy Spirit, he's the one who gives life. And you know what? You have divine life in you. So I think we should not be frowning as much, right? There's a divine life in us. He breathed life unto us. Okay, let me, Romans 8, 9, you, however, are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. He's talking about this realm. He's talking about this continent. You are not, no longer in the flesh. You're no longer living in, let's say, South America. You're now living in New York. It's a completely different realm. You're not in the flesh, but in the spirit. If, in fact, Spirit of God dwells, oikos, in you, and in and anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. That's clarity of the scripture about Christianity. It's the person of Holy Spirit that distinguishes two categories of human being, those who belong to him, those who is not. Okay? Let me move on, okay? The second thing about who is Holy Spirit is he's from the Father. Do you remember Luke chapter 11? Ask, it'll be given unto you, and knock, it'll be opened to you, and seek, you will find. Ask, whoever asks will receive. And then he gives this father-giving illustration. If your son asks for a bread, will you give him a stone? If your son asks for a fish, will you give him a scorpion or a snake, which is going to harm him? Of course not. His question is rhetorical. Of course not. So even the human fathers who are evil, they know how to give good things to their own children. How much more? The power of this illustration that Jesus makes is that how much more comparison? Not the evil father, not, you know, limited power father of our earthly father, but how much more will the heavenly Father will give him the Holy Spirit? And I really love that illustration. Many years ago, I did not understand that. How could that be the greatest gift? What is the connection here? It just really didn't make sense to me. But now it really does. You know why? Because without the Holy Spirit, number one, there is no salvation. You're still lost in darkness. Without the Holy Spirit, there's no divine life in you. You're still in slavery of sin. Without the Holy Spirit teaching you and guiding you, you are looking at wrong things and say, that is true thing. That's what I got to live for. You're completely lost. So Holy Spirit, Parakletos, is a gift of God, good gift. I think it is the greatest gift. His Son, Spirit of His Son. Which includes everything, right? So it is from the Father, in my name, in Jesus' name. We see that expression a couple of times in this chapter. When Jesus added, Holy Spirit is someone that Father will send in my name. Which means, in the original language, it means on my behalf. So it has that connotation of emissary. Now, this is so interesting. Jesus was the emissary of the Father. Father sent the Son. Okay, so in other words, he came to speak his word, he came to do his work, he came to carry out his purpose. Now, Jesus is saying the Holy Spirit, Parakletos, is sent in my name. So in other words, the Holy Spirit is the emissary of Jesus and the Father to carry out, to finish what he has been teaching, what he has been doing, and to complete. I was thinking, well, that's interesting because that's what we are called to do, isn't it? Whoever believes in me will do what I have been doing. Remember that? That's what our life is about. Whoever believes in me will do what I have been doing. And how are we going to do that? We don't even remember. We don't understand. We get so easily distracted. Holy Spirit. Walking with the Holy Spirit. He is sent as the emissary to recall the things that he has said and understand, and he teaches us and strengthens us, and he comforts us and he counsels us, and so that we could live this life to carry out what Jesus came to do. Okay, so three things. Number one, Parakletos is Holy Spirit. Brothers and sisters, think with me. Christianity is not go to church once a week thing. It's not. Really, it's not. Do you get married just to be a couple on Sundays? No, right? That's a dumb question. Right? Do you mean to say you love and follow God just on Sundays? Does that make sense at all? No, it's not. It's Parakletos leading your life. And you know what? It's not a drudgery, because you love him. And you want to obey him. And you want to follow him. And he's from the Father, in my name, on my behalf. Okay, that's who Parakletos is, according to Jesus' teaching on verse 26 of chapter 14. Let's talk about two roles and ministry of Parakletos. Holy Spirit is in you. This is what he's going to do. Two things. Number one, he will teach you all things. Okay, let me give you a little moment so that it'll settle down in your heart. Is that okay with you? He's going to teach you all things. All thing means all things. How do you spend money? Should that be part of what Jesus, Holy Spirit, teaching you? I think so. How do you love your spouse? Very biblical. Is that something that you think Holy Spirit should teach you? Absolutely. How do you do business? With what kind of conscience? With what kind of ethics? Holy Spirit and the Word. How do you raise your children? Parents, what do you follow? Holy Spirit and His Word. No? He said, number one, He's going to teach you all things, and He's going to help you remember all that I have said. I need to explain something, because this particular verse is primarily, statement that is primarily spoken to the 11 disciples before us. Of course, to us believers as well, but primarily to the 11 disciples, because this is what it means. One of the Spirit's principal task or roles after Jesus is glorified is to recall and remind and bring to remembrance what Jesus has taught to the disciples while he was still on earth. Can I just ask you, when Jesus was there with the disciples, did disciples understand what was going on? They didn't. A lot of times they didn't. In fact, it seems like until like John chapter 14, they still did not know what Jesus is about, what the cross is about, what the resurrection is about. They really didn't understand. Let me give you an example, okay? There are a couple of examples. In John chapter 2, there are three Passovers in John's gospel, very important theme of John's gospel. And it was the first Passover. Jesus went into Jerusalem temple. Now you need to picture like tons of people and this huge temple, which is the iconic thing about Judaism. It is so like oppressive and it is so grand. Jesus go into that Jerusalem temple and he turns everything upside down. He draw all the people out and all the merchants out of the temple court and all the animals out and the money changers turn it over. And he's almost like a, I don't want to say crazy, but he makes a weep and he begins to drive people out. That's something, that's an unthinkable thing. So the religious leaders at the time who had the authority and basically said, with what authority are you doing this, Jesus? What are you doing? With what authority? What signs will you show your authority? And Jesus shares something very, very mind-boggling thing. He said, destroy this temple and I'll rebuild it in 3 days. And of course people didn't understand it, right? Do you mean to say this temple, which was built in 46 years, and you're going to rebuild it in 3 days? Are you crazy? And then verse 21, written by John later on, after Jesus was glorified, he said he meant his own body. What is a temple? Temple is where God dwells. And secondly, temple is where you meet God, right? And Jesus' body is where God dwells and where you meet God. And that's what it means. But the verse that I want to introduce is the next verse. This is what John wrote. Listen carefully. When therefore he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they believed the scripture and the word that Jesus has spoken. Do you hear it? At the time they didn't, but after he was raised and he was glorified and spirit was sent, they remembered God's word and understand the scripture, okay? One more example. John chapter 12, which is the third Passover on a Palm Sunday, which is only 5 days before John 14. Do you remember Jesus riding on a little colt? That's not a picture of a victorious conqueror, small colt. But that's following Zechariah 9:9, which is the Old Testament prophecy. And as he was entering, there were thousands of people with a palm branches. They were basically saying, Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. Blessed is the Lord who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. There were great people were going nuts. And disciples did not understand what was going on, right? But in verse 16, John wrote, after Holy Spirit reminded him and taught him, this is what he wrote. His disciples did not understand these things at first, but when Jesus was glorified, when the Holy Spirit came, then they remembered that these things had to be written about him and had been done to him. What is the role of Holy Spirit? Holy Spirit helps you understand and believe. Without Holy Spirit, you don't. That's what it is. Now, why is this thing so important that it is said primarily to the disciples? Because disciples before Jesus' death and ascension, they really didn't know what was going on, but after Jesus was glorified, when the Holy Spirit came, they remembered and they what Jesus has said, and they understood and they recorded it with the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, with the guidance of the Holy Spirit, and we call that book New Testament. Why is that important? Because that is why New Testament, it is so authoritative and reliable. Who wrote the New Testament? Apostles. But who guided it? Who really authored it? It's the Holy Spirit. There is no other book. It's the Holy Spirit-inspired book. Without the Holy Spirit, you do not understand the truth. And of course, that's primarily what it means, but it also teaches you all things and help you to remember what Jesus has done. Without the work of Holy Spirit, this is what you're going to be thinking. What do you mean? Why do I need to believe and trust someone who was in Palestine 2,000 years ago? What has that got to do with me? You may be asking, what do you mean? Like teachings like this. Whoever try to save his life will lose it. And whoever loses his life for me and the gospel will save it. Do you believe it? Do you believe it? Without the Holy Spirit, it will not make sense at all. Even if it began to make sense, you won't be able to follow it without Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit brings into remembrance, teaches you, convicts you, and bring everything home. That's Holy Spirit. That's Parakletos. What do you mean we are hopelessly and helplessly lost in sin? that only God has done, what God has done and will do on the cross. And through the Spirit, we will have life. What do you mean by that? What has that got to do with my marriage? What has that got to do with my future? What has that got to do with this life on earth? It doesn't make any sense at all without Parakletos, people. That is why we're introducing Parakletos. Do you know him? I really think there are just two categories of people. Number one, those who are walking with the Holy Spirit. We call them Christian. And my prayer is that you will fall in deeper love with him and obey him. I mentioned this during Korean service. In your marriage, I've been married for 32 years. Should my relationship with my spouse get deeper, or as years go by, we do our own things? June? No. Like, you know what I'm asking? Should marriage get deepened as years go by? Or do you want your marriage to go just like doing your own things and separate things, whatever? I think second thing is really sad. I really think it is really sad, especially in light of what the scripture teaches about the relationship between husband and wife and Christ and the church, parallelism. If that's what the gospel is, if that's what the meaning of the marriage is, which is what we're going to be talking about this Tuesday, if that's what the Holy Spirit does, can you make any sense out of your marriage as the years go by? You do your own thing. I don't know him, and she doesn't know me, kind of thing. That's really sad, isn't it? The reason I'm sharing this is because that's what Christianity and the gospel is, people. That's what Parakletos is. Do you know him? Second category, of course, I hope there is none, but who do not know Holy Spirit in this place, meaning still not a believer. You just don't know him. He's a person, and he's God. And a lot of people say, oh, I don't really know him. I'm not even sure. Like, if someone lives with you and he's God and you don't know, how is that possible? You need to ask yourself, people. Okay? Without the Holy Spirit, you really don't understand. In other words, without the presence and intervention and the fellowship and walk with Parakletos, we do not know what is true and we do not know what is false. A lot of times, as I said in the beginning, you're going to look at the false things and you're just going to put your life on it and basically believe that that is the truth. I got to make a living. I got to buy a house. That's the biggest thing. That's the most important thing. Only to find out that everything you lived for is a false. But Parakletos is the Spirit of truth. He teaches you the truth. What is the truth and what is a lie? Okay. Without him, a lie you may believe as true till it is too late, deceived and cheated and lost. So what does Parakletos teaches? He teaches the truth, people. Truth. Right now, we need to discern what is the truth out there. There are so many different words out there. What is the truth? How do you know that's the truth? It's the word, and I think it is the Parakletos. Okay? Secondly, what does Parakletos teach us? What is worth living for and what is not worth living for and what is worth giving up for. There are things you need to give up if you want to follow him. If you're not willing to do it, you won't be able to follow him. But Holy Spirit gives you that courage and discernment because he teaches, because he is the one who is leading you, who is loving you. You know he's telling you this because you love him and you will be able to give up. Isn't that what Jesus said? If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself. What does that mean, people? You want to gain everything in this world that you want to gain and what this world is telling you to live for and follow Christ? You are dreaming. You won't be able to do it, people. Holy Spirit is the one who gives what is truly worth living for and what is worth giving up for. And lastly, he teaches Christians to live a life of power to witness. Do you witness? I know we talked about this a few weeks ago. We're going to talk about this next week or a week after. There are that expression, being filled with the Holy Spirit in Book of Acts 16 times. 16 times, being filled with the Holy Spirit. Repent and believe and be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's like an Acts formula. Repent and believe and be filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, being filled with the Holy Spirit, is always, almost always related to proclaim his word boldly. Boldly. I pray. One of the things, first thing I do in the morning, even before I get out of my bed, when I'm still like 80% sleeping, you know what I'm talking about, right? And I ask, Holy Spirit, would you fill my heart with your spirit, with the love of Christ? Would you fill my soul with the hope that is in you? So that the people that I meet, wherever I go, that I may be able to breathe life unto people. I really do ask. Before I get up here, and I know I said this many times, I always ask, Holy Spirit, would you fill me with your Holy Spirit so that I may be able to proclaim, not for me, but for you, in boldness, in clarity, in effectiveness. And the word being filled, pleru, one of the meaning is this. Where's the glove? Oh, okay, there's no glove. Let's say there's a glove, okay? Plero means I'm an empty glove. If I drop it, it just drops. It's just nothing, lifeless glove. But being filled, plero means the hand of God comes into my glove. And he's the one who's doing the work. That's what being filled with the Holy Spirit means. And I always picture that, Lord, let me not get up there as an empty glove or dry stick. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Okay? Second and last role and ministry of Holy Spirit is to help you remember. Remember. Okay? Jesus' emphasis in remembering tells us two very, very important truths. And number one, it tells us that truth of God is not a new thing. It's recorded thing. It's revealed thing. It's spoken thing. Does that make sense? A lot of times we want to know new truth. No. Remember means it has already been spoken. It has been already been revealed. It has been already written. Holy Spirit is the one who reminds us of the old truth. To remember. What's the old truth? Can I remind you before this table how we are hopelessly lost without Christ? Can I remind you, congregation, how wretched sinner that I am? Can I remind you? Can I remind you how we are in absolute and desperate need of a Savior, of a substitute? Otherwise, you die eternally. Can I remind you? Not only that, it's the Holy Spirit, it's the Paracletos, call into remembrance how unfathomable his grace is on the cross. Is it bless you? Does it bless you, people? How unfathomable, how great that grace is in Jesus. His death on my behalf? Why? And his resurrection and his return and his eternal plan? Will these things turn things spin differently? Of course it does. That's what the Holy Spirit teaches and reminds us. That is the ministry of the Paracletos and brings everything home. Are you home? Why are you just wandering somewhere? Holy Spirit is bringing everything home. Everything home. That's why I got to live for him. That's why I'm a debtor. That is why he loved me, so I need to love him. That's the work of Holy Spirit. And the final thought on Lord's emphasis on remembrance is because we tend to forget. Can I just remind you? We human beings have a weird character. We forget grace really easy, and we remember every little thing someone like harmed me really well. Anybody say amen to that? Okay, there are some people who are humble enough to say amen. We forget grace so easy. How wonderful this person was to me. But little tiny thing, he or she hurted you, and you hold on to it until you have an opportunity to pay it back. That's human being, people. But Holy Spirit, help us to remember the word of Christ and what he has done. Old story. History of church, entire history, is the blessing of Holy Spirit, people. Ever since Christ ascended and Holy Spirit came, church was birthed, and 2,000 years later, we are standing during this pandemic. How did church stand until this moment is the work of Holy Spirit. Martin Luther was work of Holy Spirit. John Wesley was a work of Holy Spirit. You are work of Holy Spirit. You're dead, completely dead in sin and transgressions. He revived you. He breathed life unto you, leading you. The history of church is the history of a great blessing of the Holy Spirit, but we forget. We just forget again and again and again. So one of the jobs of a minister or preacher is to remind the congregation that you, the old truth. You are hopelessly lost in sin. And you deserve to go to hell. But Christ died for you. Christ resurrected for you. Christ is returning for you. Can I remind you? Okay. And perhaps then the helper, Parakletos, will soften your heart. During the week, what do you remember? What did you remember during last week? Without work of Parakletos, you remember the wrong things. How someone hurted me. Maybe 10 years ago, you're still holding on to it. That's not work of Holy Spirit, people. You're reminded of how your husband or wife is not really meeting up to your expectation. Oh, Jun says no. Oh, sorry, Chloe. We remember wrong things without Holy Spirit. We are in the realm, different, wrong realm. The Holy Spirit will remind you what you need to remember. He's going to strengthen you. He's going to teach you. He's going to comfort you. He's going to counsel you. Brothers and sisters, Parakletos is the greatest gift the Father gives to his children, to those who ask. To those ask. Do you ask? Why not? Do you ask? Ask, it'll be given unto you. Seek, you will find. And knock, it'll be opened to you. Are you like an empty glove going to work? Can you imagine? You're like an empty glove. There is no spirit in you. Like an empty glove. You go to work and you talk like an empty glove. You do Bible study like an empty glove. Without Parakletos, you and I are empty gloves. Dry sticks. The Holy Spirit loves you. May you come to him and get to know him and fall deeply in love with him. Then you'll be able to love your spouse. Instead of just, you do your own thing, I do my own thing. I think that's really sad. Right? May the Holy Spirit, Parakletos, be in your life, and you may walk with him. Let's pray.